5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
Mark Howard.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Oh, I don't think there is anything attractive about a nude man.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I think there is.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
The risk of repeating myself, another magnificent day in Melbourne. Currently 30.6 degrees in the South Melbourne studios. Big show coming your way. Oh, is it ever. Not for the show, though. The big footy show tonight kicking off again. Shane Crawford is coming into the studio.
Little Wayne.
Yeah, nice to speak to Shane. Archie Thompson, former Victory star, now does a wonderful job on Fox Sports with the round ball game from the Storm. Jesse Bromwich as well. Big stories to be discussed, though, in the world of football, and no better man to do them than the man beside me. Hello, Bill.
G'day, how are you? Forgot. G'day, listeners. G'day, Leroy.
Where's the wheel? Where's the wheel? I want to spin the wheel, mate.
Where's the wheel?
I had not forgotten you, Bill. Before we get to the big story, just that little news story that K-Mac was bringing to the table about some people using a terrorist-style
boat
that is meant to catch terrorists to go surfing at Point Nepean. Respect.
Good on them.
My word.
Probably doesn't get it much of a run, so they just took it out for a bit of a spin, get the motor, tick it over. Big news today, front page of the Herald Sun.
Well, draft what about it?
Gatto.
Exclusive. Bombers accused of asking underworld enforcer Mick Gatto to help redress doping mess. To explain us all this and more, I'm not even sure this man can explain this one. Damien Barrett is on the line. Hello, Damien.
Yeah, we've seen enough angles and tangents, haven't we, on the entire Essendon saga to delve through and wade through and analyse and critique and ponder and have an opinion on without having this latest one come up. And that is that, the Mick Gatto situation, you're being used potentially as a problem solver by the footy club during the time of crisis. And the time in question was late in 2014.
Annoying this one, Damo, because we'd had a meeting Tuesday for the footy show on tonight, first show, and you did have this story. And you have seen these documents and you were all ready to go and then it breaks. That's bloody annoying for you.
Yeah, Bill, forget about the intricacies of it, but yeah, I have seen the documents, you're quite right, and there is a definite referencing to, as people now know, to the Mick Gatto situation. And as you know, Bill, and this is the way the footy show sometimes operates and works, and things happen to the footy show sometimes outside its control. He has chosen to tonight actually give some detail to that particular meeting. It certainly wasn't something that was planned and in advance before today's article, but that's how it played out today. And he called a conference, didn't he, for all media down there at Lygon Street. And in the end, he had pretty much this to say to the unfortunate assembled media.
Mate, all I can say is two things. Be watching on the footy show tonight, and you'll hear all about it. The second thing is I've really got no comment to make, and I can't at this stage.
You brought us here to watch you have lunch. You haven't brought us here to tell us anything?
I tried to get you away from my house, man. You're driving me mad.
Now,
great publicity.
Well, yeah, with my media hat on, the story aside, you guys could not have paid for a better promotion for your show tonight. You could have spent $1 million in national media and not as got as much coverage as that. But reading the story, Damien, what did they approach him to do? That's the bit that I can't quite grasp.
And look, that's it. I've got a view on that, Howie. And as you probably saw today, the Herald Sun waded through some legalities attached to it. I'm not going to go into detail either because I have got the same alarm bells going off when it comes to the claims made and the validity of them. And I think you need to look at it in the whole. I mean, if you look at everything that's in the claims, you can't take it at face value. It is, as Lindsay Tanner, the chairman of the footy club, says, two disgruntled former employees of the club. Now, they're doing it for a certain reason. They're doing it to try and get something back from Essendon financially. And they've exhausted some avenues. They're now going down this path. And again, that's not a judgment on them. It's not to actually say everything you're reading is wrong either, but you need to wade through it. And there's certain aspects of it, Howie, that I certainly personally would not be delving into in a public sense without further investigation and looking at. But look, the Gatto one's the intriguing one, and we will get an answer, at least in some form, as to that involvement that you both there refer to. So, and that will come tonight on the footy show.
8:30 tonight, I dare say. Hutchie will introduce the show and straight into Mick Gatto. How is Hutchie? Is he right to go?
Saw him a matter of a few moments ago, and he's put up a good face. I reckon he's nervous inside, Bill, but right. He's doing everything to give the impression that it's all under control.
Right.
Just before we let you go, knowing the way the newspapers work, and you do far better than I'm presuming we're going to get another follow-up story tomorrow with another tidbit, and it might roll on for a couple more days yet.
Yeah, look, Howie, unless there's more documents and different documents to the documents I've seen, there's nothing more to come out of the documents is what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying there's not more to come out of these two gentlemen, or there may be more individuals concerned who are seeking similar recourse to what happened to them. But in terms of the two men in question here today, Dean Wallace, former player and former assistant coach, two-time premiership player, and John Elliott, a club official, I believe what you're seeing and reading today, having seen the same documents, there's nothing more to come from those two men.
All right, Damien, we appreciate your time. Now, I like to go to bed early. Am I going to see you in the first 25 minutes?
Yep.
Because I need to see the stars.
He's
at
on
the
early.
Start. Are you away early?
Can't. Yeah, look, the plan is, but it's a moving feast, as we know, every Thursday. But the plan is to be on reasonably soon.
He's on early.
Well, like
don't
I say,
worry.
There's
see
no
the
use, Bill.
Four-eyed one.
There's no use having Bradman and batting him number 12.
Well, no, he bat about 8 or on right. 7 or 8.
9 or 10.
Yes. All right, thank you, Damien.
See you, boys.
The Footy Show back. Good news tonight, 8:30 p.m. on the Nine Network. And one of the stars of that show is Shane Crawford. He's wandered in here looking fit and fantastic. Hello, Crawford.
Howie, how are you? Hello, Bill.
Hello, little Wayne.
I'm glad Jim's not here because I've got a bone to pick with him. I want to do a punch on with him.
Oh,
what
about...
It's got something to do with the man next to me.
Why? What's
anyway,
going on?
Let's not go into that because...
Well, what we should go into, let's take us back to 2008, right? It's grand final day.
You didn't turn up to your birthday, Bill.
Oh, I didn't.
Your 50th.
Oh,
this is now.
Hang on.
How,
at all.
Do you get invited, Howard?
No.
Shame
was 15 guests in the
but
last 3 weeks.
Down that way?
Well, yes. Everyone's been invited
so
except
why
me.
Why wouldn't you invite Howie?
That's a good question.
Actually, I probably, when I look back on it, I went through my phone. That's how I got the invite. Right. And Howie wasn't in it.
Oh,
and he's still not in it. But you know what Shane gave me for my 50th?
What's
this
that?
Is interesting.
I lashed out.
He gave me a quaddy for the Saturday coming up.
Big six.
And a big
I
six.
I put on a big six for
right.
him.
Right. And did it come off?
No.
First leg came in.
That was
right.
It.
Well, that's a good start.
Only missed five.
I gave him some scratches.
Scratches.
As well. A lotto ticket.
A lotto ticket and a quaddy ticket and some rings.
Some rings, but you can actually open bottles with them. So I thought for his froffies,
that's
he can bang open
that's
his
thoughtful.
Froffies.
Because he didn't invite me, now we're going to have a 40-minute discussion about the 2008 grand final.
Where was
Thorn
Jim?
Versus Geelong.
Why wasn't Jim there? And why didn't he turn up to your 50th birthday?
40th. Jim was over that side too. He was at Port Ferry. He was down there. He had the kids.
What was his excuse? Oh, he had the kids.
Yeah.
So I could have had his invite.
I had the kids.
Yeah, you had the kids.
I could have used
you left them out in the car.
No, I just let them run around. I'll see you in a few hours.
4 hours you left them in the car.
How many years you been on the Footy Show? We've just sort of
I've been involved with the Footy Show probably about 15 years.
What was the first time you went on it?
The first time was as a panellist, just going on there, and they just virtually throw you out there and away you go, and you got to work it out as you go, but... I always loved it. It was a lot of fun. I love just sitting there and watching Sam carry on and be Sam. And it's just an entertaining show, which we're lucky to be a part of. And still, somehow, we're still a part of that.
You're small and cute. They all love you.
No, it used to be the case. But Bill gets embarrassed every time I go on. He's like, what are you going to do now? And then you drive home and you think, gee, I can't believe I did that. But anyway.
What are some of those embarrassing things?
When
have you stuffed up? When have you gone, I shouldn't have done that?
The biggest stuff up was Sam Newman when I pulled his pants down.
Yeah.
And
when you were captain of the Hawthorn Football Club.
I was captain of the Hawks and we weren't going too well at the time.
Oh, geez.
But when I actually pulled them down, I thought, surely he still had his undies on, so surely he's going to grab them and cover the front area.
Mm.
But what happened, the cameraman, they all zoomed in, and as I did that, he was just looking. He didn't even have his hands anywhere near the undies, and they just got a real close-up. And then I looked over and I saw Eddie McGuire rolling on the ground, and I thought, oh, no, what have I done? What have I done? And then straight after.
His shorts, then you pulled down his jock.
Yeah, that's right. He just stood there, and it was all about Hawthorn playing Fremantle. He reckons that we threw the game for our footy trip, you know, because there's no way we should lose to Fremantle back then. And, so management spoke to me after the show, said, listen, we'll give you a call in the morning. We'll just sort through it. So I thought, oh, I'm definitely sacked. I'm gone.
Yes.
And then I thought, oh, I've got the footy club to deal with as well.
Yes.
So, yes, I could possibly lose my captaincy. So, yeah, it was an interesting time. But as it turned out, We've all moved on. And it actually turned out to be a really funny show because Trevor Marmalade had so many jokes about Sam and about his private areas. And it actually had a real good flow and effect. But it was never, ever meant to go that way. And we actually had no idea sort of what was going to happen. It just all sort of unfolded.
But the flip side of that...
Unfortunately for Sam, it didn't unfold.
No.
At all.
The flip side of that, Shane, is for mine, some of the most memorable moments of the footy show in the previous 20 years is when you started walking and riding your bike across the country and raising money for the Breast Cancer Network. And I think that, for mine, took the show to a whole nother level, sphere, audience. I don't know what you want to call it. But for me, that was when it was must-watch television, mate.
Yeah, that was awesome. That just sort of just grew as we sort of went along. And I just said I really wanted to run. And we worked out, why don't we try from Adelaide?
So we walked and ran. Because you were tubby, weren't you? You got a bit tubby there.
Still am, Bill. But then a few years later, we thought we'd, on the back of what we did there, we said, let's ride and try and meet you guys in Perth when we did a Perth show. And
but it was so engaging. The emotion you showed and the panelists showed. Well, it was. I think that's what really hit everyone.
Even to this day, look, I've got so much. So many faxes and so many letters sent to me. Like even now, if I go through them, it just, you know, you can't stop yourself from, you know, falling in a heap. So, yeah, it obviously was extremely touching. I know Bill's mum, she passed away from breast cancer. Yep. So it was all around a similar time. There was a lot going on, but, you know, hopefully over the next year or two, we can do something else. I'd love to get out there and try something else.
Oh, you're right, Howie. That was unbelievable. To see Shane, who does all that stuff, and then to actually be mentally tough, because some of the people that went on that trip tell you he was gone, stuffed, you know, in the van saying, I can't go on. And then next morning, he'd get up and go again and things like that.
Bill would give me a pep talk.
I wouldn't.
Keep going.
Have a frothy. Remember, is that true when you did come into Melbourne? And you got in a bit early and they put you into Crown and they had to actually send like a psychiatrist up there with you because you were mentally gone.
No. It did knock me around though because I wasn't – the thing I'd planned for was to mentally go through tough times trying to make it, but I wasn't mentally prepared for all the people and all the women who I'd meet along the way who were dying.
Yeah.
So that for me just – wow, that was a real shock to the system. So – yeah. No, when I got here, I just wanted to go home. I'm like, oh, I've made it to Melbourne. Can I just go home? But we obviously had the show that night, so just had to hang around. I thought, oh, I don't want to sneak down to the Crown tables and play a bit of blackjack or anything like that.
Mate, because you were in a different world. You were, it was unbelievable to see.
Still am in a different world.
Well, you stick around, Crawford, because we need to explore a bit more of that world. Shane Crawford is with us. The Footy Show back on Nine tonight from 8:30 p.m. Bill will be there. Shane will be there. Yeah.
Hutchie.
Damien will be there. Hutchie. We need to discuss the big man next. Of course, Bex. It's always a treat to have the Hawthorn Premiership star.
The boy from Finlay. He's done very well, the boy from New South Wales. Finlay there with
same,
Tom.
Can you believe I went to the same school, two schools as Bill?
Did you?
Went to Assumption College and we went to Finlay High.
Did they talk about him?
And Drilldrew was like, what, 35, 40 minutes down the road?
Was he talked about in revered tones?
No.
Oh, there's statues. There's a little statue of me, and then obviously there's a big statue, one of the silos.
Because you are a dwarf.
Yeah, not far off.
Well, in the Footy Show promos this year, Game of Thrones.
Brilliant. Yes. Brilliant.
And guess who you are?
I'm the dwarf.
You're the exactly.
Yeah, but what does he do, Bill?
He's naughty. He's naughty,
that's
the
right.
man.
He has a lot of fun. Don't worry about you. And you don't have.
I'm a eunuch.
What are you missing?
Everything down there, I think, aren't I?
Well, you asked me the other day. Pretty much, Bill, yes.
Well,
you might
I
have
can
a little,
prove that
a
I'm
little
not.
Nub, maybe, and that's
actually,
about all
Sam
got,
should have been the eunuch.
That's real life.
Yes. Now, obviously, the big story, and I looked at the Green Guide today, and he's a friend of mine, so I've got to say that up front. Hutchie was there, and it's got the player written across the front. Every paper I open up, the big man is front and centre. Bit of pressure on him tonight. How will he go?
I think it'll be great, you know. Obviously, everyone's got an opinion, but he understands football. He understands TV, and I've got a feeling that Sam might terrorise him a touch. But as long as he can work his way through that, I think he'll be good and fit in really well. It's not easy being a host of the Footy Show because it's such a controversial position, especially over the last few years. And I suppose job security hasn't been great either. If you want to be a host on TV, don't pick the footy show because...
Or host.
Yeah, from a hosting point of view. But yeah, I think he'll do well, and I suppose everyone's going to be tuning in tonight to see how he goes. But the thing is, he's been hosting shows for a long, long time.
And the Sunday footy show, he's been doing that for a while.
That's right. Smash. I was just saying to you boys, I played quite a bit of sport with Hutchie. I played footy with him at Fran and Middle Park. I played a lot of cricket together, and he was captain there for a while. And he's
of the cricket?
Yeah, yeah, I'd best compare him to a Virat Kohli style of captaincy.
Oh, aggressive.
quite in the face of the opposition, to be fair to say.
He's pretty good at sport. Actually, yeah, I reckon he played pretty good footy. He played pretty good cricket.
Well, comes from Warrigal.
When I played footy with him, he couldn't run out of sight. No. But if he got the footy within 30 metres, bang. As we saw at Eddie had in that Legends game Legends when he kicked game. The yeah. Czech side banana.
Sold the dummy.
Well, it's a different situation with Sam and trying to be in control of Sam. So
how does that go? Take us into, are both there. Take us into a footy show meeting, and what does Sam contribute? And is there any discussion about what he's going to do before he does it, or did you just roll it out?
Absolutely not. No, the whole thing is it's got to unfold as it happens, you know, because no one's an actor. We're just got to, you know, deal with things as they come, and that's part of the fun. You just never know what's going to happen. But Sam, I think Sam this year more than ever, he knows that you know, he's got a few years up his sleeve where he can really finish on a high, and just the form that he's been in over the last few weeks.
Yep.
I've never seen him in better form.
Right.
So I'm expecting big things this year.
He does love it, doesn't he? He loves the footy show.
He
misses
loves to
it.
Entertain.
Yep.
He hates when things don't go well, or he gets really frustrated. And I don't know how Hutchie or Beck are going to control him this year, because he's really... It seems as though he's really set himself to cause a little bit of trouble.
Well, that'll be worth keeping an
eye. But he should be able to. He's 70 years of age.
Yes.
Just let him do whatever he wants
and he's got license.
Deal with it as it happens. You
well,
know?
We spent 8 hours with him on Sunday, didn't we, Wayne?
We did. We did a little bit of camping, and we took a few cameras along. So did you enjoy that?
It was okay. It's a long time, 8 hours.
Sitting you hated it.
No, I didn't
Everyone
hate it.
Everyone hated it. No,
you're the only one that likes it, of course. He's running around driving everyone mad, was little Shane. But with Sam, but he'll tell you, he loves the show. He misses it when he's not doing it, and he likes getting in there. And he loves, and he's one that'll put himself, his head on the chopping block for everyone else. So, and we understand that, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And he loves to entertain, and then he gets on his boat and he just goes out to the bay, and he'll just float out there for a while, and then he'll come back in. That's all he wants to do. You know?
Now, before we let you go, it would be remiss of us not to ask you a couple of footy questions. I was thinking to myself as we saw your name on there that, gee, this man would be suited to the modern game even more, Bill, because he could just run and run and run. The Hawks this year, I'm starting to read articles that they're not
playing dropping
finals.
Off too, are you?
I'm not dropping off. I'm thinking of top three, but I'm reading a lot of non-top eight style articles.
Yeah, I think everyone, I suppose rightly so, you know, because they're thinking, oh, they've got to drop away at some stage, but I have been down to training a little bit, I know that they're not thinking they're going to drop away too far whatsoever. I know the new kids that have come in are going to contribute really well, and Jared Ruffhead's like a new recruit. So you've got a side. You've got to remember, Alistair Clarkson doesn't like to just float along for a year or two. He loves to change things, and he's done that by being very controversial with Mitchell and Lewis going out of it. So I've got a feeling they're going to be right there again. GWS for me is the one to beat.
Yep.
Clearly, I think if they're coached really well and got some strong coaching, I think they're going to be extremely tough to beat in the finals, because they've just got so much talent and a lot of young talent that's been there for a while now, and they're ready to shine. So, and obviously the loss to the Bulldogs in the finals will probably stir them along all year, because they probably thought they would have won that and gone into a grand final.
More importantly, you've got to win a Saturday, Super Saturday, three or four group ones there at Flemington.
David Hayes, he just seems to be winning everything, doesn't he?
All right. So,
I don't know. No, not really.
No? Haven't studied him. Jamaica, just get on.
Oh, Jamaica. All right. Yeah.
Just get on, Wayne.
Next time you need to come in and tell us about your skincare regime, because your skin just is radiating,
really?
Not a wrinkle.
I've got four kids.
Doesn't he look beautiful?
You do,
Shane. Almost give him a little kiss on the cheek.
I'm 36, soft. Bill. No, I'm 43.
43? You still 43. Look good, don't you?
I like to moisturise.
Right.
You do, yeah.
All over.
Okay. How many, any more kids? You got four?
I've got four. No, that's enough. You've got four.
I've got four. Q and the rack?
That's a great bunch. Yep.
Mm.
Cue in the rack. That's it. No more. Thank you very much.
All right, cool. The footy show tonight, 8:30. Bill will be on. Crawford will be on. Yes. Damo will be on.
Come
Hutchie,
on, Bill.
Sam,
come on.
The whole
nudity,
crew.
Bill.
Thanks
come
for
on,
coming
Hutch.
In. Really
Hutch is coming
it,
out
bro.
Nude.
Oh, oh no. Wow. Bang. Bang. Mick Gatto is going to be on as well, apparently. Now, Bill, an absolutely unbelievable finish to a match in the Champions League overnight. So, to set it up for you,
soccer,
Bill,
this is.
Yeah, soccer. Barcelona was playing Paris Saint-Germain, so it's over two legs. And
say it again. I love
Paris
it when
Saint-Germain.
You speak French.
There you go. Oui, oui. Camembert. So, Paris Saint-Germain were leading 4-0 after the first leg. Somehow, Barcelona got themselves in a position where they were 3-1 up with 7 minutes to go. They still needed three goals. Three goals to go through to the quarterfinals. Right. They scored, Bill, in the 88th minute, the 91st minute, and this goal in the 95th minute by your man Sergi Roberto to put them through. And it'd be fair to say the commentators over in España enjoyed it, Bill. So there's 80,000 there at the Nou Camp going off. And yes. I was actually, I'd jump on and have a look at it online. Steven Gerrard, the famous Liverpool player, Rio Ferdinand, Gary Lineker, they're in the studio watching it. And someone had the good foresight to film the boys in the studio over the last couple of minutes. So you need to look at the vision.
And Michael Owen.
Yeah, but I think Michael Owen.
He jumps out of his seat.
Well, they go bananas. Their audio is a bit harder to decipher, but the excitement, Bill.
Yes. That's in studio.
One of the great moments in football history. And I love it when the commentators get up, Bill.
Up and about. We love that. That's what we do love. It's happened a bit over here.
Yes. Yes, it has. It has. Give us a call, 133353, Bill. And the question we're putting to folks, Bill, is what's got you excited? What's got you up out of your chair? It doesn't have to be recently, but when you've been jumping around, you and I were watching the test match the other day when Nathan Lyon was ripping through the Indians. Well, were we jumping around?
Well, we were because they'd go upstairs for the review.
Yes.
But then there'd be another five people come out of news,
that's
and then
right.
the girls would come out. They'd be looking around. They
publicities,
were in a meeting.
Promotions.
Promotion, tactics.
Marketing actually left their desks.
They
and,
did.
So 133353, what's got you excited? Bill, any particular commentary that's sort of stuck in your mind that's got you up and about and jumping around?
Well, it happens in soccer, doesn't it? Because I think a lot of these times it doesn't happen and there's goals scored quickly like this. But old mate in Iceland, it was the European Cup.
Last
and
year.
Have a listen to old mate from Iceland.
That reminds me of Mark Webber when he won his first Grand Prix. He was jumping around. Like the one that sticks with me because I was on the boundary at the time and I thought, he surely didn't say that, did he? It was when Big Brian fired up when Boyd kicked that decisive goal in the 2016 Grand Final.
The advantage of played on from inside the centre square. Boyd's kicked the goal. Boyd's kicked the goal from inside the centre square.
Drop the F-bomb, which was perfect, which was all in context. It was unbelievable, that. Well done, Bristle.
Yes, it really captured the moment. So give us a
call. If you talk to Geelong supporters, if they ring in now, it'd be 94.
Well, it could be. Well, give us a
qualifying
call.
Qualifying final after the siren.
What got... what's it off the back? The monkeys,
monkeys
off the back.
Off
I
the
knew
back.
You were going to go there. Every time it's in the rundowns. Well, why can't we squeeze this in now? Give us a call, 133353. Tell us what's got you up out of your chair. What's got you up and about? What's got you out of your chair? What's got excited? The Big Bash, when someone goes large, like when Chris Lynn hits it on the roof.
Oh, six.
Yeah, that gets me out of my chair.
Well,
that
the commentator, it's good. The camera shows you commentators all jumping out of your chair.
Oh,
it's good to
it's
watch.
It's exciting. Yeah, when you used to sit next to Freddie, though, every time something happened, he'd punch you in the arm, you get a dead arm.
Well, especially your little spindle spank.
Come on, Dave from Roeville. How are you, Davey boy?
Davey.
Yeah, good, mate.
That's the way. What gets you up and out of your chair, Dave? What have you seen that's got you excited?
I know we're going back a ways here. Oh,
that's
but,
all right.
St Kilda haven't done much in the past 60 years, so I had to get something excited about. 1997 Grand Final versus Adelaide Crows. Ozzie Jones got the ball in the back line.
Yep.
He ran the whole length of the field. I think it was five or six bounces and nailed it. I still jump up and down every time I think about it. That was magic. You don't see that these days.
No, you don't. Old Aussie, eh? And
good
what about
you,
Jarman going forward? Was that?
Come on, Bill.
No, that was it. Righto. Sorry, Dave.
You just flattened Dave's entire week right there.
Michael's in Sunbury. Hey, Mickey boy. Yeah, good.
Good, Mickey.
Bill and Howie, yeah.
What have you been excited about, Mick?
Oh, I just loved it when Mick Fanning faded really deep, got barreled, and come through for the win for the World Championship at Pipeline.
Oh, now, see, that was a magnificent moment. And had to wait. Well, he had to wait. He sort of faded back on the way. Yeah. He was running out of time, needed to win the heat to become world title. And then, as you know, Michael, it took about 8 or 9 minutes for the score to come through, and no one knew what was happening.
Ooh. They were just wandering around on the beach, nothing, no score, nothing, and then bang, he fell to his knees when he won.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good one, Michael. I like that one.
He's back too, you were telling me the other day. He's back.
Full season, good. Fanning.
Cheltenham. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Hey, Davey boy.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Just in regards, I've been to every Anzac Day game since 95, yeah. And I remember back in 2009 when we were getting a little bit thumped by Collingwood.
Yep.
But I do remember when the ball was bounced in the centre, it was handballed out to the centre to Hooker. Hooker kicked it on the wing and kicked it towards Zaharakis. He barks, it gets pushed off. And it threw for a goal and won the game by 3 points, and the whole crowd just went wild.
Oh, Dave, send your resume in for a bit of a calling opportunity. This is how Quarter saw it.
To Zaharakis! Zaharakis has kicked a goal! The Bombers are in front of the chair!
That was unbelievable. He got pushed when he kicked it.
He got pushed as he kicked it, and it went through for a goal, and even he couldn't believe it.
In the pouring rain, wasn't it, Dave? It was really wet that day. Rain. Yeah, it's a good one, Dave. Thank you. Paul's on the line from Camberwell. Hello, Paulie.
Billy, how are we doing?
Good. Great to speak to you. What got you excited, Paul?
I think it was 99, fellas, the World Cup cricket, Australia-South Africa. They had a tie with that run out.
Yes.
And it was going great with three frothies at the at the Crown because we hocked the bottle from behind the bar. So that got me right off me.
That's when Alan Donald and Lance Klusen were out there and somehow they manufactured to run themselves out, Bill.
Well, Klusen hit 4-4 off the first two balls of Damien Fleming.
The smoking Flem.
They smoked him. That ball bounced back from the concrete fence back to Flem.
He's bowling your half volley. Whack!
And then they worked it out and...
They rolled along the pitch.
Who, Mark Waugh.
Maybe Gilly to Flem or one of them. Who was it?
Mark Ward of Gilly, wasn't it?
Yeah. Anyway. Well, it was a good one, Paul. Yeah, yes, we won. Right. That was an absolute beauty. Marky boy's on the line from Berwick. Hello, Marco.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Marco.
I've got two. Last year's grand final with the Doggies that last quarter, 10-1 inside 50s against Sydney, and when they finally nailed it, it was just great. We're all up off our feet at home.
Yeah,
10-1
inside
50s. And when Leo Barry took that mark in the goal square to stop West Coast,
Leo Barry,
Sydney won their
first one.
Elite commentator.
Until you see the photo of it, and one of the other Sydney guys is getting the West Coast guy and dragging him straight out of the competition.
That's it, Marky. I like that one. Matt's on the line from Cranbourne. Hello, Matty boy.
How you going, Mark, Bill? How are you?
Good, Matty.
What got you up off out of your chair, Marky?
When Mark Scaife hit the wall in Bathurst 2006.
Oh, is that when he stalled off the start and then drove straight into the back of Jackie Perkins?
Yeah, Granny had a little help, Mark, but dude, I was running up and down that front straight like crazy.
Yeah.
Boy, right. Did you like that, did you?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't a fan of Scaife back then.
Fair enough.
Right, obviously, a big Ford man, Matty boy.
Yeah, the Blue Oval.
Yeah, he got pinned for that, Jack Perkins. It really wasn't his fault, but that's a story for another day.
Right.
Cam's on the line from Pakenham, Bill.
Ah, Cam.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Nearly frothy time.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling it.
Good boy. When did you get jump out of your seat?
It's got to be when Brodie Grundy kicked the winning goal against Richmond last year.
Cool. Out of nowhere.
That just like, I punched holes in my ceiling. I jumped out of my chair.
Yeah. I like that one, Cam.
That was out of nowhere in the goal square. Just scrambled.
That was just unbelievable.
It was
a couple like that last year. Remember Nat Nui got that late one maybe against the GWS and Sammy Lloyd kicked one after the siren.
Yeah. But this one was all just on the grid. Yeah, in play. Yeah, bang.
There's some good ones there, Bill. We're giving away tickets to Spiderbait Corner Hotel Thursday, March 16. Limited tickets on sale now at spiderbait.com.au to see Cram and his buddies. What do you think, Bill?
Cram and Janet English.
That's it.
She's one of the good. Oh, I went to school with Janet.
Did you?
Was she a very nice little girl at school?
Did you hold hands with her or anything?
I think she tried to pash me. I think she did.
Can you believe what we have to listen to? come on.
We're going to go. Oh, Mark had a couple of good ones there. The grand final last year, the Doggies and Leo Barry, you star.
Good one, Marky.
So good on you, Marky boy. Thanks, boys. Great. I'll go along and have a look at Spider Bait.
do we ever. Mark Howard, Bill Brownless, Archie Thompson, former Victory superstar and Socceroo legend, will join us. Jesse Bromwich from the Melbourne Storm. Bill's got the joke, but Bill, the continuation of the Mick Gatto story with Essendon is developing in front of us.
Yes.
The Herald Sun is reporting quotes from an interview Sam Newman did earlier on today, from what I can gather, was a one-on-one for the Footy Show tonight, Bill.
Yeah, I thought Mick was coming in, but no, Sam, who knows Mick, has had an interview, one-on-one type setup at a Carlton restaurant today, Lygon Street. So they were in there. It was just, probably Sam and Mick. They sat down with the cameras and they had an interview, yes, which will be on the Footy Show tonight.
Now, Michael Warner is reporting on the Herald Sun, and I quote Michael's article. Herald Sun has obtained a video of Gatto being interviewed by the Footy Show star Sam Newman at Lygon Street restaurant this afternoon. So hold your thoughts on that one, because I want to ask you about that.
Yeah.
And the quote from Mick Gatto is, "With this one, I did get embroiled in it. And I was approached," Gatto said at Villa Romana, which is obviously the restaurant pressed by Channel 9's Sam Newman, if he was approached by an official of the Essendon Football Club to help fix the doping mess. Gatto said, I was, but it wouldn't be very professional of me to indulge who. They just wanted to find out. They just wanted me to find out what was going on with it all and what I could find out and have a feel around. So that's different to what we were hearing from Essendon, who said that there was no approach made.
That's right.
There's two parts of this story from where I see it.
Always is.
Yeah, one, the quotes, which you'll obviously see on camera tonight on the Footy Show. But the second would be, if this was a Footy Show interview, the Footy Show would be doing everything they can, for obvious reasons, to protect their intellectual property here.
That's right.
How is it handed, found Mick Warner? Because I'm guaranteeing you Channel 9 hasn't given it to Michael Warner.
I guarantee Channel 9 haven't given it to Mick Warner.
In fact,
so
I'd think Channel 9 would be a bit disappointed with what's going on right now.
It wouldn't be Sam. It wouldn't be the cameraman. It wouldn't be Mick Gatto. So whoever else is in the room.
So therefore, someone, again, I take you back to the start of the article. The Herald Sun has obtained a video. So therefore, someone in the room, I'm thinking probably on a phone, etc., Bill,
I don't know,
must have filmed the interview, because otherwise there's no way Michael got his hands on it.
Anyway, you can see the whole interview tonight with Sam, and Sam will ask the questions. Don't worry about that. He'll ask the hard questions, the old boss.
But Bill, nevertheless, disappointing, I would have thought, for the Footy Show, which I'm looking forward to watching tonight, that this is now out there.
Yeah, it would be, very much so.
Well, she's a sneaky caper.
If
anyone can get a little leg up, Bill, and just record. All right. Any more developments on that story, we'll bring you across it. But as Bill said, you'll see it all on the Footy Show tonight at 8:30 p.m. Bill, back page of the Herald Sun today, another NAFA tradition as the bounce goes in the TAC Cup down and out. We had the umpires in the other day, which was Peter Schwab and Hayden Kennedy, which was they sort of presented to us the way the game was going to be umpired this year. And I've always thought keep the bounce. And then the way they explained it, that one, it had caused injuries, which...
Two shoulder recos.
Yeah, that wasn't big in my thinking. But what was they were saying it's being taken out from all the other... levels
suburban.
Of footy. Mm. So the first time you're going to be required to bounce a footy is when you come into the AFL system.
Yeah.
Big job for the umpires to do that. It made me actually think, it's not really fair on the umpires. Maybe they should give it the flick.
No, they will. There's no doubt it is going. The TAC Cup, as you read in the Herald Sun today, and then...
Would it worry you if there was no more?
I'm a traditionalist. I love the bounce, but if it's going to go, it goes. And they throw it up and then it is an even throw and we all get on with it. The other thing is, there's actually footy tonight, JLT series tonight. There's two games tonight, Howie.
There is. There's a lot going on, Bill.
The Gold Coast Suns take on the Western Bulldogs.
Gazza! Very,
Gazza up forward.
How many can he kick?
In a year?
If they play him 70% up forward.
50.
50.
He can kick 50
I reckon the little guru can sneak out 65.
65? That's a lot of goals.
He's a genius, mate.
That's a lot of goals.
He's a handy operator.
They're not kicking as many as they used to in our day.
No.
Your day.
Not really my day, Bill, let's be honest. Your day.
But the Gold Coast Suns, that'll be interesting. The Western Bulldogs, that's up at Metricon. And then the West Coast Eagles in Melbourne over at Subiaco now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Melbourne going beautifully.
Good to see Jackie Watts there.
Jackie Watts, of course. But Melbourne going very, very nicely indeed there. So they win again. That's three wins they've had, and West Coast will be hard to beat over there. So it's good to see the old footy back in town.
Yeah, plenty more footy. Then the GWS take on North at up in Canberra tomorrow. Fremantle versus Carlton tomorrow night. They'd be after an improved showing, the Blues, it'd be fair to say. They've got a decent team.
Well, they've named a pretty good side there, of course. They've brought back all the big guns and Gibbs and Murphy and the boys like that. Richmond, Bashahuli will come back in, so he's playing. And also Prestia and Shane Edwards will return. So they're all getting their best side together. Adelaide, when do they play Brisbane in Adelaide there? Eddie Betts and Josh Jenkins come in with Mitch McGovern. So we're always getting all the big boys back for round one. There is some talk that Rory Sloane will play also.
Well, he's coming back from that cheekbone, isn't he?
And Essendon have picked all, look at their squad. Zach Merritt, Zaharakis, Bagley, Fantasia, Heppel, James Kelly and Matt D. So they're all coming too. So they're getting all the big, I suppose, their best sides back together.
The Cats take on the Bombers. Bendigo 4-10. Are you happy with the way everything's just tracking along down there at the Cattery, Bill?
Well, they haven't won a game yet. They have not won a game. But the first game they had to travel to...
Somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Where'd they go? And then Launceston, that's first it. Game. And they come back. And then this last week, they again had to travel over to Adelaide. And again, come home with a wet sail and just got beaten. So
we're talking about Gazza playing.
They're travelling again. They're going to Bendigo. It'd be nice to play one at home.
Bendigo's not much of a travel. Harry Taylor, are you truly expecting him to spend the majority of the season forward, or is this just smoke and mirrors?
No, I truly think he will play forward. He'll play up forward until we get in a bit of trouble, and then he'll be back.
Yeah, well, that's which is what's happened in the past a little bit, hasn't it?
It has.
So. How's the big hawk looking?
He's good. Oh, fit, ready to go. He's had a new baby, of course, so he's out there on the farm. All I see is shots of his cows or shots of his baby. So, he's going well. Joel Selwood, he'll have an extra spark now after he's they've lost the TAC sponsorship. So Joely boy will be fired up. Danger's ready to go.
Are you driving him to the games? Are you going to be his personal chauffeur for a month or
might have to get a bus for a while, poor old Joely.
Come on, he's not a bus stop.
He's a bus man. Back home to Bendigo, he can get home there. Okay. See all his family.
Bill, this Saturday, 7:50 PM, Melbourne Victory take on Perth Glory at Amy Park. You can get your tickets now, tickettech.com.au. Finals begin April 21st. I look at the ladder. Melbourne Victory in second position behind Sydney FC. If our next guest was still in the blue and white, Bill, they would be on top of the ladder. He joins us on the line
Archie
now.
Archie
Thompson. Hello, Arch.
Hey, lads. How are we?
Well, how are you? How's life now that you're not being required to play professional sport week in, week out, Arch?
Look, mate, it's interesting. I'm actually playing semi-pro. I'm playing up on the Murray in Albury-Wodonga, where I actually grew up. So I'm playing for Murray, and I'd actually got a game on Saturday. So that takes most of my time with Fox, Ambassador, a role with Victory. And actually, funnily enough, I've got a game up in Perth on the 25th of March, which I'm looking forward to. It's actually against the Manchester United Legends team. Yeah. It's also a foundation too, which a young Tom Beattie's foundation, where a young boy died of testicular cancer. So it's also for awareness of that, but also get to play some of the legends of Manchester United, which is awesome.
What type of names are they rolling out for that? They've got some superstars.
I can't believe no one's really heard of it. It's got Scholesy, there's Brian Robson, there's Silvestre. Who else is there? Erwin, I don't know if you guys know these.
I know them. Man. My word. Yeah, they're
absolute legends of Manchester United. And so I'm excited about getting up there to play that one, which is on the 25th.
All over that, I am Archie Bald, Jared.
Beautiful, mate.
I'm reading your Wikipedia here. You're born in New Zealand. How did you end up growing up in Albury?
It was just with Dad moving with work. Yeah. So I was actually 5 weeks old, I think, when I came over here, and I'm pretty much Australian, mate. Although when the All Blacks play the Wallabies, I must admit, I tend to go to the All Blacks.
Oh, Arch.
Yeah, mate, you've seen that haka. It's awesome. I tend to show a bit of patrioticness to New Zealand. But otherwise, mate, I'm Australian.
I was up in Albury, and the Border Morning Mail there, I was reading it one morning, and it had the big back page, Archie comes back home. I had no idea you're from there. So good on you going back to your roots.
Mate, no, when the opportunity, obviously, when you're out of that sort of professional environment and you want to obviously give back to the grassroots level where you grew up, the opportunity came because I knew the president. He said, come down, Arch, because I tend to go down there quite a bit. So I thought, you know what, I'll go and play. And it's a cat up the road from mum's and dad's and a cat up the road from where I began. So, it's awesome. I'm enjoying it. But, it's funny because... it's a little stranger than what I've been used to for over the last 20 years, where you've got the president running across the field with the ice. And, and the boys are actually excited when I get there because they don't tend to get ice for their drinks. And it's bloody hot up there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it is.
Now, when you roll out with that mob, are we expecting a 13-goal style performance like you did playing for the Socceroos against American Samoa all those years ago?
Well, mate, this is my third game now, and I haven't scored a goal.
You haven't been collecting your paycheck, Arch.
Yeah. No, it's all about giving back, mate.
We know you. There'd be something in it. Nice little envelope.
No, look, I've been harping on about how Bess has beaten my record, and he's almost close to getting over 100 goals for the A-League, and I've always said that, you know, he scored penalties, and I'd never scored penalties. Yeah. But I actually missed a penalty for Murray United about 2 weeks ago. So, mate, it's not as easy as what I thought. I think that there's also the added pressure I've put on myself because, you know, I think when you go down and play in the lower leagues, everyone expects you to score 13 goals or whatever. So I won't be taking any penalties soon.
Just look the other way, Arch. It's easy. Yeah. You just step up and look the other way and go there. Hey, Sydney FC, are they just too good this year?
Yeah, mate, they are. And I was actually at the game last week with Fox. And, they were just a class above. And I believe still it'll be those two teams that play in the finals, Victory and Sydney. Definitely both to be the most consistent.
Yep.
But the way I looked at Sydney, the way they played, they just they bullied Victory off the park. So, yeah. But you know, grand finals are different kettle of fish, and finals are a different kettle of fish. Sydney haven't really done anything, they haven't exactly won it yet, but they're going to have their hands on the minor premiership, and that's the first trophy they've won in a while. So, but when you look at Victory, they've got some big time players that do really well in finals. So I'm hoping those two teams are in grand finals because they both deserve it.
Archie Thompson is with us in the rush hour. Now,
Chompers.
Archie, World Cup qualifiers. The next time the Socceroos roll out is Iraq in Tehran. Ooh. Now, I would imagine that's a reasonably hostile atmosphere. It must be interesting when you've done plenty of it, go to these away games, especially in the Middle Eastern areas that traditionally Australians don't know too much about. What's it like when you get off the bus and you're ready to roll out in Tehran or Kyrgyzstan or Kazakhstan or some of the places where we now have to qualify through Asia?
No, mate, it's scary. It is scary. But look, the way that the security is now these days, and back when I was playing too, there's no danger, and they make sure that they play it in the right places. And I'm actually excited because these next two games are very important. And the squad was just announced a couple of days ago. There's a few surprises. And,
Riley McGree, the 18-year-old, he's played nine games.
I think Inge does this quite a lot. He there's a 30-man squad, and he obviously trims it down to 23. And he tends, I think, to get some of these younger guys in just to get a feel of the environment and what it is to represent your country at that level and being in camping and being around these experienced players. I'm not quite sure he'll cut it for the 23, but you never know. I mean, he might have a blistering camp, which obviously he's warranted his selection in the team, so you never know. But I think it's more about sort of just blooding him in and seeing how it all runs.
Melbourne Victory take on Perth Glory, Amy Park, tickertech.com.au this Saturday, 7:50 p.m. The finals, of course, begin on the 21st of April. Archie is a club ambassador and doing a magnificent
job on Fox Sports
as well. Just still sort of really taken to that TV caper.
Oh, he loves the TV. Still walking around the tan and having coffee down there.
Oh. I don't know if you were going to say that. I was just waiting for you to say that. I knew you were going to say it. It was on the tip of your lips, I reckon, from the start.
It was, Arch, but answer the question.
No, mate, actually, I've not walked around a tan in a while, although I'd like to.
Yeah.
All right, Arch, like I reckon it'd be a time for you to hang up now. I reckon it'd be good. Thanks for having a chat with us, Arch.
I think so. I think I need to.
See ya,
Archie
Ball.
Thompson from the Melbourne Victory. Bill, front of the Herald Sun today, I read you the first paragraph of an article with Michael Warner. Essendon is fighting damaging new allegations that club bosses reached out to underworld enforcer Mick Gatto, removing injections, regimen emails and covered up cocaine use, sexual harassment and fraud. You can obviously read that full article in the Herald Sun. Essendon came out and through their man in charge, Lindsay Tanner, said that we hadn't made any contact. with Mick Gatto. Now, your footy show tonight has an interview with Sam
Exclusive.
Newman. Yeah, Sam Newman and Mick Gatto.
Yep.
And here is a little bit of audio from that interview today.
Were you approached officially by anyone from Essendon in an official capacity to try and sort out this saga?
I was.
What specifically, Mick, did they ask you to do?
Oh, they just wanted to find out what was going on with it all and what I could find out and just, have a feel around. But,
Mick.
Now, Mick. That's his Sam. He'll ask him the questions. He'll keep going at it too. You'll see that full interview tonight on the Footy Show 8:30 on Channel 9. But the Foss, he won't be scared to ask the hard questions. Now, Mick, come on, Mick. Now, Mick, tell me what's happened there. So stand by.
It just keeps going on and on, doesn't it, Bill?
So. Well, this Essendon saga, the players and the club won't be happy with it all.
Well, you think, Bill. Crikey, every second week there's another article comes up. Anyway, you'll hear it all on the Footy Show tonight at 8:30 p.m. on Channel 9. You'll be there, Bill. Right
live,
the top,
yes.
Looking forward to that.
Here is a nice play to Finch, and Jesse, he puts the Bromwich double together.
Oh, that man, a star of the NRL, the Melbourne Storm, Bill. They've got some very big games coming up. Tomorrow night, 6 p.m, they play the New Zealand Warriors in Auckland. You can hear that live on Triple M with Dan Ganane and Billy Harrigan. First home game next Thursday at Amy Park at 8 p.m. versus the Broncos.
Oh, yes, please.
No footy on that weekend, so go and check it out. Tickets at tickettech.com.au. I saw this bloke on the news last night.
Mm.
He's going to miss his first game in 160 straight affairs because he had his thumb bandaged. And it didn't look good.
Last
Jesse
week.
Bromwich is on the line now. G'day, Jesse.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Oh,
how are you?
Good to speak to you. I saw you on the news last night. It looked like they could have chopped the whole thing off. It looked like a bit of a mess.
Yeah, thumbs are no good at the moment, but we're hoping for only a couple of weeks, so hopefully I'm back out there sooner rather than later.
How'd you do that last week? Obviously in the wet?
Yeah, I just went to go tackle someone and looked at my thumb and the bone was sticking out, so a bit of a mishap.
Good win that one, mate, in the wet up there. Beat the Bulldogs, of course. A very good, tough win, I would have thought.
It was a good win from the boys. You know, we had a couple of boys go down early, so it was a good, tough win up there. The weather was, terrible up there. It was pissing down with rain, so, good on the boys.
They always talk about the big three, Bill, Slater, Smith and Cronk. For mine, it should be a big four with Jesse Bromwich in there. No, you should be part of the big four, Jesse.
You're just saying that because he's on the line.
No, Jesse. I don't know who's looking after marketing, but I'd be pushing for the big four down there with your name on it.
I'm pretty comfortable with the big three. That sounds good to me.
There's been some interesting stories about the big three. Yeah. I saw Cooper Cronk. There was discussions about whether this would be his last year for the Storm, where he goes with his beautiful partner and might end up back in Sydney, Tara Rushton, who obviously does a wonderful job on Fox Sports. What's going on there, Jesse? Have you asked him?
Yeah, no, I haven't had a chance to ask him. He's in New Zealand at the moment, so I'll be seeing what's going on there. But hopefully he can stick around Melbourne for another year. He's one of the better players going around and love playing alongside Coop, so hopefully that's not true.
Yeah. Well, you're only young, and the other boys, well, Slater's 33, Cronk 33, and Smith's 43, so you're the only coming through. So you're obviously with a three-year extension during the week. That's nice, Jess.
Yeah, very, very grateful that, able to stick around Melbourne for another 3 years and, like I said, very grateful to the club. Love being at the club. And the three older boys are getting a bit older now, but I'm sure they've got a few more years left in them.
You're the next leader there, no doubt about that. So do you like Melbourne, the city? Do you get noticed much?
Yeah, I really enjoy Melbourne. No, I don't get noticed too often. Don't do much. I'm pretty much a stay-at-home kind of person. So pretty much chill around home. I've got two kids that keep me busy and a wife at home, so I don't really get out too often.
And you watch the game against your New Zealand Warriors, a big game, of course, tomorrow night, 6 p.m, the Storm taking them on. You're going to watch it from mum and dad's house? You haven't got a TV?
No, I'm pretty unfamiliar watching the Storm game, so I'm not sure what I'll do, but I told dad I'll go over there and watch it, so I might go and, see how it is watching the game.
Well, I've been doing my statistical research all day on you, Jesse, and as I said, I counted up 160 straight games, and I reckon the last time you missed a game might have not been through an injury from memory.
Yeah, I've been very lucky in the injury department, touch wood, but the last time I missed a game was when my second son was born, so I've been very lucky,
Did Storm win or lose that day?
I think they might have won, so didn't make a difference.
Hey, good luck, mate.
All right, Jesse, we appreciate you coming on. The next home game, Thursday, Amy Park, 8 p.m. v Broncos, tickertech.com.au. You reckon you'd be right for that, or maybe the week after?
They're thinking round four, but I'll definitely be pushing for our first home game.
Good
thanks
man,
for having me,
Jesse.
Fellas.
No worries.
Good
great
on you, Jesse, boy.
You. Tough cheers, big fellas. Boy. They're just tough men, people.
194 centimetres, 114 kegs.
Mm, he would snap you in two.
He would breathe on you and snap you in two. Have a look at your little...
He'd bounce off you, old marshmallow guts there. 30.5 degrees at 14 minutes to 6. When you said the other day to me that the seasons are changing, you're going later, I'll after you.
Yep.
I think you were right.
I think I'm right, Howie.
Cricket.
Vics are going very nicely up there in Alice Springs. Mm-hmm. Just all out in the first innings for 322.
Oh.
A lead of 176 up there at Tregar Park.
Someone late must have made runs.
Well, I'll tell you who made runs. He made his first 100, maiden ton.
Oh.
Chris Tremaine.
Tremaine.
Tremaine, the opening bowler, made 111 off 232 deliveries.
Good news.
So he made 111. James Pattinson.
Patto.
57.
Got a lot of hair at the moment.
Has he?
Hmm.
They put on 108 for about the eighth wicket.
They've got a decent old lead then.
I said that, 176 they lead by.
So they win
Mark.
That. They just about will host the Sheffield Shield final, just about, which is at, if they do host it, Bill.
Where?
Alice Springs.
Is it again?
Because they can't get on the G.
They can't get on the G. And Stoinis got 46 for the Vicks there in that first
now, Stoinis, he's been called up to India. So Mitch Marsh has come home with a bung shoulder. Stoinis gets selected. Pretty much it was between him, according to Trevor Holmes, between Enriquez and Wildermuth, who can play some good cricket. And
Wildermuth? Who's he?
Wildermuth. He's a big sort of strapping all-rounder type from Queensland. Wildermuth. Did a bit of work in the Big Bash. Trevor Holmes, the man in charge of selection, came to the conclusion that it was your man Stoinis, who's probably the most dangerous of the bowlers. So that's why he's picked him. But...
Ooh. He had one innings. It was a magnificent innings.
Against
I'll give him that.
New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah, it was. He hasn't been making a lot of runs for the Vicks, but anyway, good luck to him.
He's not going
to
play, though.
He probably won't play. No.
So they pick Khawaja.
Bat him at six.
Or does Sean Marsh get shuffled down the order, which would be really unfair on Sean Marsh. So you reckon Khawaja will bat six?
Yep.
All right.
It is. Hey, you know what is great news? I'm just looking at here, the iPad. Gary Ablett running out in a Suns jumper.
It is.
Right
it
now.
Is. Yeah, right.
Geez, it started early, has it?
Or that
we're
is
just
good
running
news.
Late. But he's
had so many problems. He had that career where nothing could stop him, and then bang, bang, two shoulders in a row.
The master, he's back. So good luck to little Gary Ablett, who will be running around the Geelong jumper next year.
What have you got for me in the joke department?
That is a very good question.
Is it something really sharp?
Probably not.
Really funny?
Probably not.
Really crisp?
Probably not.
But it would be fair to say, well, I've been in here the last 3 weeks, you were giving me a hard time the other day because I don't drink coffee.
You don't drink coffee, you don't drink beer.
Well, no, I drink beer, but not
don't
coffee.
Don't drink vodka. What's wrong with you?
Well, you tease me about what I eat.
I tease you.
And I'm a bit fussy. I'm
I tease you, do I?
You do, you tease me. And I was at home last night with my 7-year-old, the Pickle.
The Pickle?
The little Pickle.
And Mrs. Howie?
Yes.
Sorry, the hand's gone up. So
she's going beautifully, Bill.
Veronica?
She's going, Erica.
Erica.
Thank you.
Erica.
Not Veronica, Erica.
Erica.
So the Pickle was doing a reader to me. She's in grade two, so she's learning to read. Yeah. And she's reading me a book about senses. And I'm
about
accused
what?
Of senses, your touch and your feel and your smell and stuff. And
I'm
accused at home of being a fussy eater.
Yes.
Until we came across this paragraph that one in four people have more taste buds and a better sense of smell. These one in four don't like strongly flavoured foods such as coffee, cabbage, spinach, because they find the taste too powerful. Now, we've got Damien Christoph on, our health guru, tomorrow. You know what these people are called?
Vegans.
Super tasters.
Super tasters.
I am a super taster.
Flog.
So I'm not fussy.
You are fussy.
I'm not. I'm a super taster.
No, you're not.
Because I'm the one in four that have got more sensitive taste buds than you, Bill. So,
so
when
what
you can
am
eat
I?
Anything, you're an extra taster. I think that's what you are. So I'm a super taster. So we're going to ask Damo about that tomorrow. Maybe also have a chat with him about what happens when you drink more water and how much water you need to drink, Bill, I think.
You know what happens when you drink more water?
What's that?
You go to the toilet a lot more.
Thank you, Dr.
You
Bayless.
Do.
You do.
It goes straight through you.
It does. Well, we'll speak to him about that. So he's on tomorrow. We've got best and worst of the week as well. But, Bill, I think it is time for...
Oh, is it?
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's Joke. Save up to 15% off on natural turf varieties when you buy at melbournebrick.com.au. Conditions apply.
Super taster. That's what I am, Bill. Super taster.
Just found the in the form guide. You wouldn't believe it. They're racing a pack in them tonight.
Okay, everyone listening.
It's one number six.
Pull your cars over. Take it easy. Billy's going to deliver one of the best jokes.
And Jill, you've got it. Don't shake, Jill.
Jill's there when she starts laughing.
You might have heard this one, but...
Bill.
Well, Jill hadn't prepared me a joke today, so I had to find it myself.
Lift. Okay.
In España.
Sorry?
Spain.
Right.
Yeah, get it. I'm being a local.
Okay.
In España.
All right.
There is a tradition that the bullfight to serve the mayor is the bull's testicles, okay?
Sí.
Sí.
Claro. Sí,
sí, señor.
Entiendes.
One day after a bullfight, the mayor asks the waiter, "Funny, why are these so small today?" "Today, sir, the bull won."
Not bad, Bill. So it's the old...
Ecuador, or whatever his name is.
Knackers. Ecuador.
Ecuador.
Is that what he's called?
What's his name?
The bullfighter.
The bullfighter.
He's not called Ecuador, Bill.
What's it called?
What's he called, Leroy?
I don't know. For once, Leroy's not talking.
The Ecuador, he is called the bullfighter, Bill.
No.
The bullfighter.
Matador. The Matador Cup.
We'll be back to make you more intelligent tomorrow.